Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I wonder if any of you recognise this church building. You can shout them out. Any ideas? Blanks? Oh, you're all from South Australia. It's a Victorian church. It's Mildura. So for those who don't know, this is where I grew up, baptised and confirmed. And God willing, in a couple of years, also ordained. A few years ago, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the church building, and it was there that I took more notice of the foundation stone and the text that was written on it. It reads, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This made me think, why would this verse be chosen to represent the foundation of the congregation? Of all the verses in the Bible, why this one? I pondered on this for some time, and I arrived at the conclusion that to be at peace with God is the foundation for our relationship with Him. And you might remember in our confession earlier, it was introduced as, because we have peace with God, we can go into confession. As a side note, I wonder how many of you know the text on the foundation stone here at St. Mark's? I can't quite say that I haven't looked now because I had to between services, but if you have a look, it might tell you what the foundation is for the congregation. So today I'd like to talk to you about this peace that we have with God and how can we have peace in the world, especially at the moment when it seems full of suffering. How do we have peace in a restless world? Our text today says that we have peace with God, not we can have peace, or we might have peace, but we already have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Why is Paul saying this to the Romans? Well, when something joyful happens to us, what do? We think of the difference it will make in our lives. Here Paul speaks of something that will make a very big difference in our lives, our justification. This is what Paul has been saying up until this point in his letter to the Romans, that firstly, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and secondly, that we have all been justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we have been justified. This means that God no longer counts against us what the law says he should count against us. We are declared forgiven, restored to God, right with God, just in his eyes, holy and pleasing to him, even though on our own and in ourselves we're not. And this is what makes all the difference. Here, the offended person, God, reaches out to us who had rebelled against him and we were his enemies. We didn't offer peace with God, we couldn't. But God restored the relationship with us. Peace outside of God is not true peace, for peace comes from him. If we try to manufacture peace without God, it's hard work. But by being joined to Christ, God's peace flows through us so that we can be at peace with God and one another. So what now? Because we are justified, we have peace. And how do we have access through this? It's through Christ. Christ is acting like a key in the door, like we were talking about with the kids. He is the connection point between us and the triune God. We can think here of Jesus' words in John 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Because of Jesus, we stand in God's grace. God has removed the sin that separated us from him. This peace that Jesus offers is different to our earthly peace, or our earthly attempts at peace. Our peace with God is not just escaping the punishment that we deserve, but God's peace puts us in a positive relationship with him. Paul emphasizes this a few verses later. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." And peace is not just an absence of war, which we hope and pray for, but it is more the sense of the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, which has the sense of complete wholeness and restoration of our relationship with God. Through being at peace with God, we have the peace of God, and out of this flows the ability to begin to be at peace with each other. Paul now moves from speaking of being at peace with God to rejoicing in our sufferings. Some translations have that we boast in our sufferings or we glory in our sufferings. I'm sure when you first heard about rejoicing in your suffering, you said something along the lines of, well, I certainly don't. I had the first-hand experience of this a couple of weeks ago when I was cataloguing old records at the Lutheran Archives of the radio broadcast The Lutheran Hour. I was working with an older friend of mine, and we came across an old sermon title called The Gift of Suffering. My friend turned to me and said that that was a gift that he'd rather go without. He has a few more aches and pains than me, but I'm thinking maybe one day I might get to that point where I'm saying that too. But that highlights our natural human instinct to run from our suffering. It's not just physical suffering I'm talking about either. The world is full of suffering. Wars and increasing prices, and even more personal suffering. And I know that each one of us are all carrying our own suffering here today. But Paul is not saying that we rejoice or boast in our suffering in the sense of rejoicing that we are suffering, because that's not helpful to anyone. But rather, when we experience suffering, which is the consequence of living in a broken world of sin, we have the hope because we know God's comfort and help. We are rejoicing in the midst of suffering, and despite our suffering, we are not rejoicing that we are suffering. We rejoice in our suffering because we have access to God through Christ, who suffered for us and who suffers with us now. Boasting in and rejoicing in God is being confident in Him, in what He has done, and in what He promises to do. God's peace is independent of our suffering. Suffering cannot steal our peace, for that is ours through Christ. Suffering does not prevent us from standing in God's presence. Remember, that's God's work, not ours. But rather, suffering is the condition in which we experience God's grace in its greatest strength. Suffering in our difficulties does not mean that we should be happy about our troubles, but that we should delight in what those troubles will do in our lives. We can look to the book of Hebrews for a similar thought. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the fruitful, peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. But we must also remember that our suffering is not for atonement, that is, to make peace with God, but rather it was Christ's suffering that was for our atonement. What this also means is that our suffering is a reality of being joined to Christ. We read that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So the end result of suffering is hope. And there's an ongoing circular nature to our hope. Hope makes it possible to endure suffering, and at the same time, the process of enduring and the godly character it produces increases our hope by making us continually reflect on the future realities promised by God. But suffering alone does not produce these positive virtues of perseverance, character, and hope, because suffering can also make people bitter instead of better. It is when we stand in God's peace with the Holy Spirit that we have these positive outcomes. And we can have this. In verse 5 of today's reading, we read that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We were reminded of this last week at Pentecost. So God's peace enables us to have hope, compassion, gentleness, and awareness of others in the midst of our suffering. Our suffering can make us turn to ourselves, but God's grace and peace enables us to reach outwards to God in faith, and then also outwards in care to each other as fellow sufferers. What a witness this is to the hope that we have in Christ. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have the divine action of all three members of the Trinity working to save us and help us in our suffering. Because we are joined to Jesus, we are at peace with our Heavenly Father. We are no longer enemies. And we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us to help us in our weakness. The Father is the source of our peace. The Son gives us access to peace. And the Holy Spirit helps us to live in peace. While the foundation stone of St. Mark's is not Romans 5 verse 1, may the foundation stone of your hearts be the peace that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now in a positive relationship with the triune God. Praise God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.